following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, November 6th, 2016.
Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to worship at Holy Trinity.
Let us prepare for worship with the order for confession and forgiveness. Please stand.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. We take a moment for reflection. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Pray together. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Bible reading is from Daniel, the 7th chapter. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by the night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and the four great beasts came out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. But as for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth. But the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Here ends the reading. The Bible reading is from Ephesians, the first chapter. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who are the first to set our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills in all for all. Here ends the reading.
Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Dear friends, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Creator from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit who binds us together with all the saints. Amen. So yes, All Saints Day, a day to remember that we are surrounded by an oh-so-great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us. We think of specific people. We have their faces firmly implanted in our memories. Those who have gone before us and yet remain with us. They never, ever leave us. As together we comprise, yes, what we reminded the children today, the community of saints. Saints are those who have died, yes, and saints are those who live. They are long since buried, and they are sitting right next to you this morning. I'll get to that part in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about Lydia. Lydia, an ordinary and yet extraordinary saint. My first Sunday as pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in South Minneapolis in 1997 was just 2 years to the day after the 83-year-old structure, church building, had been totally lost as the result of an infamous fire on 24th and Chicago Avenue in South Minneapolis. On this day, the fledgling congregation, 2 years later, the fledgling congregation gathered in a neighboring church who so graciously allowed us to use their building for the annual Christmas program. When the crazy, wonderful group of children finished putting their twist on the old, old story, they gathered in the front of the church, almost like our kids did here. They just came to the front. They knew where to go. They knew their place, right? They gathered in the front, and up came Lydia, now well into her 80s, and she came forward with a basket. A wise person once gave me a heads up when I was a young pastor and said that in every congregation I would serve, there would be at least one person in that congregation who would know the Bible better than I did. I don't know who that person is in this congregation, but I know you're out there and I'm waiting to meet you. Well, Lydia was that person in this congregation. She knew the Bible inside and out, but she also took some liberties, shall we say. She took a creative, inquisitive approach to Scripture. So when she read the story from Luke, she determined that Luke must have known Mary, the mother of Jesus. There was no other way, Lydia said, that Luke would have been able to have such a perspective of the birth narrative that included Mary, that included so much about her. So Lydia was convinced of this. So what did she do? She wrote a Christmas play based on the conversation between Mary and Luke. Probably never happened that they had a relationship, but what a wonderful creative way of telling the story, especially from the perspective of Jesus' mother. So back to that Sunday, the kids came up and sat at Lydia's feet. She thanked them for being in the play, and then she gave each one of them a Christmas ornament that she had crocheted. There was probably 40 kids there, and a couple of my children who are now adults still have those ornaments that she gave them. Lydia and her husband were working folks who made a life for themselves in their little house in Minneapolis. Lydia worked as a receptionist at a hospital. And her husband, she was by now a widow, her husband had sold shoes and worked as a custodian. Lydia was generous in a real practical way, as you have already heard. In the late 80s, early 90s, the church became involved in settling Liberian West African refugees. There was one woman who came ahead of her family, as was often the case with refugee resettlement, and she lived with Lydia for several months. Lydia probably just said, oh, I have room for someone. Come live with me. Of course, there were limits to Lydia's hospitality. When her guest received a package of dried fish, Lydia insisted that she keep the box of dried fish outside and used to laugh telling that story. One time, when we got around to building the new church building that now sits there on 24th in Chicago, Lydia became very upset during the building campaign. And she came to my office and told me that she didn't like what she was hearing about scaling down the project. what we call, those of you in the building trades, you know this is called value engineering, right? That's a way of, say, another way of saying cutting things from the project to save money. So Lydia was worried that by our doing this, which is typical in projects like this, we were going to sacrifice something important. Lydia told me that she had to take action herself. She wasn't going to try to get anybody else to do anything, but what she was going to do is that she was going to change her pledge to the building campaign. Now, I was thinking when she said that, well, maybe she was upset she was going to reduce her pledge to the campaign. That's not how Lydia rolled at all. So what she said is, I pledge $17,000 to this building campaign, and I'm changing it to $70,000. So stop talking about all these things we're going to cut. I said, Lydia, can I tell other people what you just did? And she said, no. But I'll never forget that. It's just one example of who she was. It shouldn't have surprised me, right? Based on the kind of person she was. Lydia didn't have much, but her life was an inspiration to me and many others. Ordinary and yet so extraordinary. People like this, we all have them in our lives who we remember on this All Saints Day. I learned so much from her, and she remains part of me and part of us, and in a blessed memory, part of the communion of saints. So, now all these years later, I'm standing here in New Prague among you. This is just my fourth Sunday, and I'm just starting to get you a little bit, I think, starting to see you. Now I'm sure that you are still wondering about me, this strange guy from the north, no, not Canada, just St. Paul. It will take some time, but then I'll be gone, and you can move on to the next chapter of your life together. But let's have some fun while I'm here. While I'm here, and this is what I wanted to say, what I started to say, I see you, and I like what I see. I see you, and I like what I see. Holy Trinity is a community that a few years ago went through a big change. Painful for most. Let's face it, as you experienced a split in your community. As someone said to me, one day everything changed. And we looked around and realized that we just had to jump in and start getting things done. Now, I would not recommend that kind of leadership training program to any congregation. It's pretty abrupt, pretty traumatic, but it worked. It was the beginning of you, the people of God, in this place, taking responsibility to participate in the future that God was creating in your midst. I see a congregation that is committed to practicing radical hospitality. Out of the pain of brokenness has become a clear determination that people will be welcomed into the life of this congregation, no matter their age, their sexual orientation, their past religious affiliation, or station in life. My friends, you need to hear this loud and clear. That makes you a gift to this New Prague, Scott and Le Sueur County community and beyond. I see a congregation that says, These people who need a place to go on Thanksgiving Day, they will come here. Those people in our community who need a place to go on Thanksgiving, they will come here. Or people experiencing homelessness need a place to stay. We will provide housing for them through families moving forward. Those are just a couple examples, right? I see a congregation that in response to planting the flag of radical hospitality and welcome is, well, guess what? Is growing. Now, isn't that interesting? Growth is a result of the risk of welcome without conditions. There's someone else who practiced that. Jesus? I see a congregation where leaders have been willing to put themselves out there in new ways, to take risks and learn from doing, trying, and experimentation. Does it get messy sometimes? Oh, for sure. Absolutely. But the alternative to that is to hide, wither, and die. Your strategic plan is a guide to moving forward in mission. You need people like me. Let's start calling me a trustworthy outsider. Trust me on the trustworthy part. Whatever. But I'm an outsider, but I'm on your side, right? Let me tell you that it's going well. It's going well. You have a future. I see it. And in spite of my baby face, I've been around for a while. And I see so much more. Your commitment to children and youth, your strong and committed staff and leaders, your wonderful worship and music life, your care of this physical space, and your abundant hope in the future. I see you, and I like what I see. We say in our current giving campaign that we give in all its forms. We give out of our own need to give. God created us to be givers. We are created this way, and we are living this out in a variety of ways as people of God, one of them being Holy Trinity. That's a basic principle of generosity. We give out of the need to give. But we also, let's face it, friends, we also give in response to what we see right in front of us, what is right around us. I know that you, too, are enticed, intrigued, hopeful, and excited about what the future holds in this place. God has given you a good, good gift for which we continue to give thanks. And I will try to do this over and over again during my time here. Thank you. Thank you for all the ways that you contribute to our life together in this place, attending to God's mission for the sake of the world. Amen. Let us join together in confessing the faith of the Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together with confidence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.